more games, of course, guys. There's the Roosters, Dragons, Allianz, Anzac Day, and, of course, the Storm Warriors. Not a whole lot of changes just yet. Not forgetting we're still 3 days out from that game. Latrell Mitchell was named on an extended Roosters bench. I don't think you'll find he will play. Josh Dugan, they're going to decide on Monday whether he'll play, returning from a hamstring injury. They say he's about a 70% chance of playing. And Ben Madalino looks like he'll be out of that Warriors side. Just on Madalino, he's being pursued quite heavily by the West Tigers. They think they've got their man, so that'll be a little bit of good news there for West Tigers. And Buzz Rothfield in his column today put a shush in there about which former international is being headhunted by St Helens over there. I can tell you, it's David Fairley. He's at North Queensland, assistant coach. Buzz is on the money there, and it'll be Fairley is one of the heavy favourites to take the top job over there at St Helens.
Pretty good job, that one.
It'd be a great job, Jimmy.
Pretty good job. Very strong rugby league town.
Good job, Dino.
A lot of resources. Oh, speaking of good job, well done, Dean Bulldog Richie. No response from Dean. There you go. Obviously, just accepting of it, yeah. John Cartwright, Big Hoss, legend of the game, up next.
I'm Kim Cartwright. A man has been charged with attempted murder after a woman was bashed with a hammer and stabbed multiple times at a home in New South Wales's Northern Rivers region. Police say the 51-year-old man and 47-year-old woman were at a home in Nimbin on Friday night when they began arguing and the woman was attacked. She suffered stab wounds to her legs, arms and torso and underwent surgery at Lismore Hospital while the man was arrested yesterday. Foreign Minister Julie Bishop has sparked a threat of nuclear retaliation from North Korea after saying the rogue nation will be subject to further Australian sanctions. North Korea's state-run KCNA news agency has quoted a foreign ministry spokesman saying the Australian government was blindly towing the US line and Ms Bishop should think twice about criticising Pyongyang or it will come within range of a nuclear strike from North Korea. Three men have been treated for injuries following a brawl at a bar in Sydney's southwest. Police say the brawl erupted at the Hume Highway premises in Cabramatta in the early hours of this morning. A 28-year-old man was treated at the scene by ambulance paramedics and taken to Liverpool Hospital with a minor head injury. Two other men were also treated at the scene for minor injuries. Police are appealing for witnesses. At least 140 Afghan soldiers have reportedly been killed by Taliban attackers, apparently disguised in military uniforms, in what would be the deadliest attack ever on an Afghan military base. The BBC's Philip Parr has more.
According to eyewitnesses, the attackers were disguised in Afghan army uniforms, and there was utter confusion when the assault began, with soldiers apparently firing on their own comrades. By targeting the base's mosque and canteen, the attackers ensured that most of their victims were unarmed and unable to defend themselves. Fighting is reported to have continued for several hours, resulting in one of the biggest losses of life in a single attack on Afghan forces since the present conflict began following the fall of the Taliban.
A knife-wielding man who threatened French police at Gare du Nord train station in Paris has been arrested after causing panic amongst members of the public. French rail operator SNCF says the man approached and threatened gendarmes patrolling the station, but he followed orders to lie down and was arrested. France is on high alert following the killing of a policeman by an Islamist militant on Thursday, and the station incident prompted some people to flee in panic. Thousands of scientists and people from other walks of life have turned out in Washington, New York and around the world for Earth Day events that organisers have framed as a celebration of science to counter a growing disregard for evidence-based knowledge. The March for Science festivities were effectively protests against steep cuts that President Donald Trump has proposed for federal science and research budgets in the US and his administration's scepticism about climate change. Australian scientist Dr. Mel Fitzpatrick, who marched yesterday in Hobart, told the ABC science is not being taken seriously in Australia either.
25 years ago, we were on the cusp of joining the world and leading the world in reducing our heat-trapping emissions. 25 years later, we're about to sign on to the largest coal mine in the world. So we've kind of lost the footing and we've really lost the plot.
Also in news, Qantas has met angry commercial fishers affected by a spill of toxic firefighting foam from one of its hangars into Brisbane waterways. This is Air News. North Melbourne coach Brad Scott won't be attending a history lesson anytime soon as he attempts to pull off a miracle by guiding his side out of the doldrums and into the AFL finals. The Kangaroos slumped to 0-5 after coughing up a 29-point lead in their loss to Fremantle in Perth last night to go down 9-13-67 to 9-8-62. No team has ever recovered from a 0-4 start to reach the AFL finals under a top 8 system, and the Kangaroos appear doomed. Cronulla coach Shane Flanagan has demanded his men undergo an attitude change after suffering a shock NRL loss to the Titans. Less than a week after warning his team to lift their league-worst completion rate, the Sharks were their worst enemies as they turned the ball in crucial junctures in the defeat. Despite heading into the match on a four-game winning streak, the defending premiers were ranked last in errors and penalties conceded over the opening seven rounds. While they improved to finishing 30 of 39 sets against the Titans and remain in the top four, they still managed to give away 9 freebies and draw the ire of their coach after the match. Also in NRL, the Eels 18 beat the Panthers 12 and the Cowboys were too good for the Knights 24-12. Briefly, in tennis, Australia are in the box seat after day one of their Fed Cup World Group 2 playoff tie against Serbia, taking a 2-0 lead following singles wins to Ashley Barty and Daria Gavrilova. Australian Independent Radio News.
Set up your punting day with Racing HQ on Sky Sports Radio.
Racing HQ brings you the latest in racing news, interviews with trainers and jockeys, and tips from the experts like Lizzie Dell.
I have Van Calander on top. I just thought he's a lovely, promising gelding.
Every morning at 10, there's a comprehensive 30-minute preview of the New South Wales Major Meeting, plus daily selections for harness and greyhound meetings. Racing HQ, 7 mornings a week on Sky Sports Radio, 10:17 a.m. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Beautiful sunny morning in Sydney, fog lifting out in the west, very small chance of a shower later in the afternoon, but mostly sunny day, heading for a top of 25 degrees. Jim, what's the temperature currently at Glenwood and up at Goondiwindi?
Yeah, good one, Raymond. All right, Glenwood at the moment, 17 degrees. At Glenwood, and it will be a maximum of 25 degrees. At Goondiwindi, we've had this
either
long
either.
Discussion, haven't we? Currently, but cloudy at the today, and it's going to be a maximum of 25 degrees today.
Favourite ice cream?
Strawberry.
Species of cat?
More of a dog man.
Movie?
Easy, Die Hard, all of them.
Huh, okay. Your favourite horse to win this weekend?
Well, there's Wildfire, she's a great filly. Oh, and there's Black Truffle, she's a proven galloper. And you can't forget Suave Fella, he always powers home. I mean, that's like...
Can't choose between the horses you love? Bundle all the runners you love in the one price. And if any of them win, you win with Tab's Bundle Bet. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
April is 5% extra discount month at astivita.com.au. That's a further 5% off the already discounted prices of up to 70% off wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware, vanities, toilet suites, basins, baths and fridges. 2-year warranty, 50 service locations and free delivery to most areas. astivita.com.au. Use the code RADIO for your extra 5% discount at astivita.com.au.
There's tough. And there's a new breed of tough. Introducing the new Amarok Core 4x4 from only $42,990 drive away. This impressive workhorse comes with a rigid ladder frame chassis, the largest tray in its class. And now with a new cabin design, App Connect, and rear view camera, it's a whole new breed of tough. Offer ends April 30. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
for the program. Final hour, 1353-53 is the open line number. John Cartwright is our legend of the game. Big Hoss, we're looking forward to having a chat to him very shortly. Trent Lanscale will be along for a chat as well. We've got a sports update from Tanya. We've got Timmy Manor, the Eels. A couple of wins on the trot.
Four wins, four losses.
So back on track for the Parramatta Eels. We'll have a chat with Scotty Foster as well from Steve Foster and Son. So a lot coming up this hour. We want your calls on 1353-53 as well. 1353-53.
And if you ring in, Jim, my favourite race meeting of the year is coming up this Saturday.
Hawkesbury
standalone. We've got four tickets to give away. Times three. Does that make sense? Three lots of four tickets to give away. General admission. It will save you a bundle.
Yes.
Give you plenty of pocket money to bet and have a drink with. Hawkesbury this Saturday. So call in now. Four tickets. Times three.
And make sure that money that you save in getting into the track, you pour into turnover as well.
Which you obviously will gamble responsibly.
1353-53. Well, our next guest, Raymond, our legend of the game, is a man who, well, he's synonymous with the area in which you grew up in Penrith. I think his father, Merv, was heavily involved in the formation of the Penrith Panthers.
Correct.
He went on to become an international playing out of that club. Seven tests for Australia, eight origins for New South Wales, and 185 games for the Panthers. It's great to have John Cartwright on the line. G'day, John.
Morning, boys.
Morning, John.
Thanks very much for being a part of the program this morning. We do appreciate it. Just going back to the start, mate, we like to have a look at your career and take a walk down memory lane. But I guess rugby league was always a part of your life with your father, Merv, so heavily involved in the game, John.
Yeah, my first memories growing up were actually sitting on Dad's lap driving the tractor, mowing, probably not allowed to do that these days, but,
yes.
You know, I was sit on Dad's lap in the tractor while he was, you know, rolling the field or cutting the grass or, you know, sliding up and down the hills while he was marking the field. And, yeah, that's probably going in, you know, that's my first memories as a child growing up. You know, I was probably the luckiest kid in the world. You know, Penrith Park was basically my backyard.
Mm. Yeah, almost mine too, John. John, what was your junior club out there?
I played most of my career at St Mary's.
Yep.
They were initially, you know, guys my vintage will remember that, you know, it's a metropolis out there now, the club. Yeah. But in its early stages, it was just an old green shed on the highway going through the town. Mm-hmm. You know, someone had great wisdom and bought the land out where they built the club, and it's, you know, it's one of the biggest league clubs in the country now. It's certainly they produce a lot of footballers, but back in those early days, it was a battle.
Jimmy and I were discussing before we went in here earlier this morning that you're one of the most skillful second rowers or forwards to play the game, but were you always in the forwards, John, and where did that skill with the football in particular come from?
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not real sure, but I started off, I was never that big as a young fella, funnily enough. I sort of had a bit of a spurt around the 15, 16-year-old mark.
Decent growing spurt, John.
my boy's done the same thing. Yeah, but I played, I mean, most of this, like any kid, and I don't think it happens much these days, was in the backyard. You know,
yeah.
I was one of four boys, and I was third on the list. So, they were tough games in the backyard. All the local kids had come around, and there was no age group there. You played against who turned up, and it was every day of the week. That's, again, you know, they're my memories growing up. It was cricket in the summer, football in the winter. In those little small fields with lots of players, you had to find a way to score a try. And I think like all your skills that you pick up along the way, especially as I say, back in them days, that was where it all started, in the backyard.
Round 20, 1985. Mm. First grade game, run out for the Penrith Panthers. Tim Sheens is the coach. The front row, Jeff Gerrard, Roy Simmons and Lou Zivanovic. So I think you were 19 at the time, John. I guess that's something that I know you had brothers that played first grade as well, but the whole family would have been proud of.
Yeah, it's like as a kid, you never think it'll happen, you know. And growing up as I did, you know, wanting to play football and be like the guys that you idolised, you never think it's going to happen. And for me, it happened pretty quickly. And I was playing in the under 23s most of the year that year. And like, you know, you never know when your chance is going to come along. That's why you've got to be ready. I know we just had a spate of injuries, and I got promoted pretty quickly from under-23s into first grade, and it was probably a good way for it to happen because I didn't have a lot of time to think. But it's funny that, you know, I remember that day as clear as a bell, and mainly because of the size of the North Sydney pack. You know,
yeah.
Well known in them days for big boys, but I never realised how big they were until I sort of ran out and had to tackle a few of them. You know, Don McKinnon and Steve Mayo and Mark Graham.
Yeah.
They were mountain men.
Mm. John, could you, the difference, the gulf in terms of the speed and the class going from 23s into first grade, how big a jump was that for you?
That I think still to this day, right, that's the major thing that you got to get used to. You know, I just remember the first 20 minutes was a blur. You know,
yeah.
I couldn't, it just went past me before I even knew. And that was the jump from 23s to second grade and then second grade to first grade was something that you just can't prepare for. You just, you know, you can talk about it, you can be told about it by, you know, I had a great coach in Tim Sheens, but
yeah.
When you go out there and you're in the middle of it, it is a bit like being stuck, you know, in a hurricane.
Mm. 1989 is a big year for you, now 4 or 5 years in first grade. You make the semi-finals under Ron Willey, a couple of hard heads, I think Peter Kelly and Chris Mortimer come to the club and that changes. And you also play State of Origin, John. So if you thought the hustle and bustle of NRL was something, what about the hustle and bustle of... Because that was not a bad Queensland side that year.
Yeah, mate, and again, it happened so quickly. They picked the city-country teams in them days, and then that was pretty much a trial, you know, to see who went into the Origin. And I wasn't in any of the city-country teams when it was first picked. And there was, you know, you play your round of footy the week before and then you go into have your medicals, and there was a lot of guys dropped out of the team, and I was working for Dad at the time, and he came and grabbed me and said, mate, you've been selected for the city team, and as you always do, you think someone's winding you up, but no, it was true. So I went into camp and I was on the bench for the city seconds, I think it was then, and
yeah.
I had a fair game, you know. We played the country team. They were all country fellas, and we were, you know, we had a pretty good side, you know. It was all rep players and first graders, and you know, I had a fair game coming up. Tom had a fair game, and I picked the Origin team the following. I think at the end of the round, we played on the Saturday, then we played club footy on the Sunday, and they picked the State of Origin team, and my name got read out. So it was, I'd sort of gone from not making the city team to making the Origin team, and then Ian Roberts actually pulled out of the side, so I went from the bench into the starting side in the front row, which is somewhere I'd never played before, so it was a lot to take in.
Mm. As Jimmy said, they're a pretty fair Queensland. I think it was 3-0 that season.
It was 3-0 that year, yes.
Pretty fair. Yeah. Hey, John, that was also the year Penrith made the finals, but you missed the finals, the two games, because of suspension. Penrith went out in straight sets, so to speak, but that led into 1990, the grand final, and obviously 91, the grand final win. Was there a sense at the time that something was building pretty special at Penrith?
I think so, mate. I think it started with Tim Sheens.
Yep.
The club had never played, you know, coming in 67, it had never made semi-finals until, 85. So you think about it these days, your fans wouldn't be real happy if you went that long without playing a semi-final, but Timmy came in, started from scratch, brought a lot of local boys into the club, really looked after the locals, got them to semi-finals, and, you know, Ron Willey had played his part. I think that was a major time for the club to bring Chris Porter and Peter Kelly. It was always hard to get players to come out there and play, to get the quality of those two. And then Gus came in and provided the polish. You know, there was a, looking back, you know, you could just see the club improving. Yeah, they probably one of the first clubs to spend money on their facilities. We had great facilities out there, and as I said, you know, Gus came in and he was a great coach. He still would be. You know, has a great knowledge of the game and just a tremendous person at getting the best out of individuals. And yeah, looking back, you could just see the club was getting to that point. You know, we had some quality players right across the park, and a lot of them, you know, a lot of us were local juniors, and I think that certainly helps.
I remember vividly the celebration from the Penrith Panthers players when you qualified for the grand final in 1990. And it seems now, looking back with a bit more experience, you were happy to be there. 91's the different story, though, and you're desperate to win it, quite obviously. You came from the bench in that one, John, but
certainly made an impact in the game. What are your memories of that famous grand final day?
Yeah, well, I was fortunate to play. I hurt my back, I think, in the week off. We had the week off. I'm not sure. I didn't play in the semi-final. I hurt my back maybe late in the year. And I know going into the week of the grand final, I thought I had no chance of playing. And I was struggling to get around and get out of bed. And I pretty much resigned that I wouldn't be there. And Gus said, I'll give you up till kickoff. And I know we had a surgeon in the shed who gave me some sort of needle before we ran out, and even while I was sitting on the bench, I just had so much doubt in my head that I wasn't going to get through. And I don't know what it was, but it was some sort of miracle, because I got the tap on the shoulder to go out, and my biggest fear was going out and not being able to play or not being able to be at my best. And it was probably adrenaline. I just went out there and felt $1 million, and I suppose, mate, again, it was one of those things. It came and went so quickly. But when Simo went over for that second try and then Brina kicked the goal to go 7 in front, that's a memory that will stay with me forever.
Mm. Hey, John, it looked at the time like Penrith were building a dynasty, and we've had a couple of your teammates from that 91 team on in this similar segment early in the year, Greg Alexander and Roy Simmons, and 92, the tragedy of 92 and what happened to the club. You stayed at Penrith through into any of your playing days, and because at the start of 92, first few rounds, Penrith were on top of the ladder, and it looked like premiership number two was almost in the bag. And then, obviously, the Ben Alexander tragedy, and it just all sort of went wrong from there, I guess.
Yeah, that was, it puts everything into perspective, I suppose. Like the fact that we did, it's very disappointing that we weren't able to win a couple in a row, or at least, be there. The club pretty much had to start again from that point, but it does put things in perspective. The disappointment of not going to semi-finals in 92 or perhaps even going on to win it just faded because of what happened to young Ben. Just a young fella in the prime of his life, probably the most popular bloke in the team, life of the party, and for that to happen, and obviously had family and in-laws involved, it was a really tough time. And there was a period there where we rallied after the accident initially happened, but became way too difficult. It weighed on everyone's mind, and it was just such a sad time. Again, it's one of those memories that never leave you, but you hope you never have to go through it again.
Yeah, well, we spoke to Greg Alexander, and you could hear the emotion in his voice when he was talking about, quite obviously, when you put it into perspective, a huge moment in his life. Kangaroo Tours were a part of the scene then. You made the one in 1990 with a lot of Penrith teammates. We bemoan a lot on this program the lack of Kangaroo Tours. It'll probably never come again, but what a time, John.
Yeah, again, it's just something I remember sitting up watching Kangaroo test matches. You would always have a big party, and they always kicked off around midnight. And, I remember sitting up there and watching Les Boyd run through the Pommies.
Yeah.
He ran about 30 metres and carried about five of them over to score a try. That, you just, you go out the backyard and you replay those things yourself. So to get that, I've just been so fortunate, to be able to achieve those dreams that, you sit at home thinking about it, and to be able to, I would have been happy to play one third grade game for Penrith. So that would have been me ticked off, and to go on and play first grade and then be a state for your country and then to win a grand final at Penrith, probably the most, on the top of the list. Been very fortunate, to be able to achieve that.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, we're beaten by time, John. We've got to keep moving. Obviously now with Manly and fantastic win on Friday night, and it seems like they're going to be quite competitive this year, so good luck with that. But also good luck too with writing down Ray Thomas's tips correctly this week. I believe there was a bit of an issue last week that cost you an $8 winner, so let's hope those ones are right today.
Yeah, the memory's not what it used to be. I remember he said there was his third tip was something that was short at Mudgee, so I just picked out the shortest price favourite at Mudgee and picked the wrong one, but 2 out of 3 ain't bad, right?
Nah, sorry. Sorry about that, John. Hey, John, well, hopefully not only will Manly do well for you this year, but also Penrith will get back in the winners' list shortly. John, it's been great to have you on, and wish we had more time, but the very best luck for the rest of the season.
enjoyed every minute. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, John.
There he is, John Cartwright. A real character in the game. Really good player,
great
too.
Ball skills,
and a very
great ball skills.
Central figure in the premiership win of the Penrith Panthers in 1991. 1353 53 is the open line number. Before we take a break, got to have a chat with Trent Lanscale from tab.com.au. He's down in our Melbourne studio, standing by, Raymond. Morning, Trent.
Good morning, dear Jimmy and Ray.
Good morning, Trent.
Right, three games remaining in the National Rugby League. One today and then a couple of crackers on Anzac Day. What do you got for us? West Tigers up against the Bulldogs.
That's today's one, Jimmy. 4 o'clock at ANZ Stadium, where you've got West Tigers $2.75 and Canterbury $1.45. The line 5.5 and the head-to-head money 5-1 in favour of the Bulldogs. Just with the margin betting the favoured way at the end of normal time, the Bulldogs by 13-plus at $2.75, and you've got 1-12 at $2.90. Herod Holland, Marcelo Montoya and Brett Morris, they share favouritism at $9 to score the first try in that match this afternoon. And then the two on Anzac Day, the traditional match, 4 o'clock at Allianz Stadium. The Sydney Roosters, $1.60. St George Illawarra, $2.35. The line there is 3.5. And then 7 o'clock at Amy Park, this is starting to become an annual match. Melbourne, $1.27. The Warriors, $3.75. And the line there is 10.5.
And Trent, four games to complete round five of the AFL. Your men Hawthorn trying to get in the winners list against West Coast through until Tuesday, that big game on Anzac Day, Essendon v Collingwood.
That's right, Ray. So the 3:20 match at Etihad Stadium this afternoon, St Kilda $2.65, Geelong $1.48, the line there 15.5, just the favourite option in margin betting, the Cats by under 39.5 at $2.20, and then 4:40 at the MCG. The bottom placed Hawthorn, $2.60. West Coast, $1.50. The line, 13.5. And the Eagles, under 39.5, $2.25. The favourite option for the margin betting. And then tomorrow night at the MCG, Richmond, $1.75. Melbourne, $2.10. The line, 6.5. And then on Anzac Day at the MCG, Essendon, $2.15. Collingwood, $1.70. The line, 4.5. So there's still plenty happening in the NRL and the AFL heading into Anzac Day.
Trent, do they have promotion and relegation in the AFL? Because I believe Werribee's got a very...
Carlton will be in trouble too, actually.
Hawthorn's a chance. Are they a chance to be demoted this year? Do they have relegation?
No, Trent, we don't want to go there, Trent, because the Blue Boys would be right in the firing line as well.
Well, they wouldn't have played in the AFL for years.
I was just expecting some sort of snappy comment there from Jimmy just as I was going through. So it's amazing you held your tongue for that long there in regard to Hawthorn.
I just wonder, why they've been beaten by 80 the last couple, haven't they?
That'd be terrible.
You're the schmuck. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Alistair Clarkson. Clarky.
Yeah, about your three-time premiership coach, or four-time premiership coach, and already his job's under scrutiny already after four rounds
but
of losses.
At least you can say hashtag rebuilding for 1 year. I've been saying for 22.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, look, it's good that they don't have relegation anyway. They can continue to play in the top league. That's fantastic. Now, what about some of the football on tomorrow, Trent?
Oh, Jimmy, there's plenty of soccer. So the A-League elimination final tonight, just the normal time result betting. Melbourne City $1.90, the draw $3.75, Perth $3.60. That's 7 o'clock at Amy Park, and there is the market to qualify for the semi-finals if they need to have extra time, or, as we saw on Friday night, the penalty shootout. Melbourne City $1.50, Perth $2.50. Two EPL matches. Obviously, you boys will be clearly looking at these ones tonight. 11:15 at Turf Moor. You've got Manchester United $1.65, even though they are away to Burnley. And at 1:30 in the morning, Liverpool $1.47 at home to Crystal Palace. But sandwiched in between there is the other FA Cup semi-final starting at midnight at Wembley. In the normal time result, Arsenal $4, the draw $3.75, Manchester City $1.80 to qualify for the final and face Chelsea. Arsenal $2.50, Manchester City $1.50, and you brought this up with Phil Moss earlier. There is the El Clasico.
Yeah.
It'll be 4:45 in the morning our time, so have a bit of shut-eye and get up early tomorrow morning. Real Madrid $2.05, the draw $3.75, and Barcelona $3.10. There's the NBA playoffs. There's plenty of other sport, so you can check it all out at tab.com.au.
Good on you, Trent. Great job. We'll speak again next week, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Trent. Trent Lanscale from tab.com.au. Hi, guys. Can you tell me how the Dragons are 3.5-point start against the Roosters on Tuesday, given that the Roosters have lost, have won one of their last three games? That's from the Chief from Cardiff. Mate, let me tell you, Chief. Dragons will get pumped on Tuesday.
Come on, Jimmy.
Absolutely pumped. Roosters will put the cleaners through them. 1353 53, the open line number. Tim Manor after the break.
This Anzac Day Tuesday, Sky Sports Radio, the New South Wales racing industry and racegoers will pay their respects to all Australians who've served their country. Racing has always been an integral part of Australian life, and the Anzac spirit comes to life at many New South Wales racetracks through mateship and ceremony. Following the dawn services, Racing HQ brings you all the winning information for racing at Randwick with form analysts Ray Thomas and Lizzie Gels. Anzac Day Racing, this Tuesday on Sky Sports Radio. Are you ready for the 2017 Dali Scone Cup Carnival?
Friday, May 12, features the Cup, the English 2-year-old Challenge and the Noel Leckie Country Cup.
Saturday the 13th is highlighted by the English 3-year-old Guineas, Emirates Park Dark Jewel Classic and four listed races, plus fashion and fun galore.
Book your hospitality package or race day tickets now at sconeraceclub.com.au and be trackside for City Class Racing Country Style, May 12 and 13.
To celebrate Easter, Bingley has special
Easter eggs.
Josh, in every Bingley store, you'll find special
Easter eggs.
No, Easter deals. So why?
No eggs?
No eggs.
Is the Easter bunny coming?
With these deals, you think Santa's coming.
I love Easter.
You love chocolate.
Mum, I love your idea of great Easter deals at Bingley.
You love chocolate.
Mum, Bingley is making Easter special. But sorry, no Easter eggs.
But there's a great deal more in store.
Excludes Asco and Miller.
Here's Tavachi coming wide out with a big run. Tavachi's going after Le Romain. Le Romain and Tavachi. And Tavachi got up to win the All Age.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
That was Tavachi winning the All Age last week. Retired, Jim. Straight to Waikato Stud. This is an SMS from David from Wattle Grove. He's always got some good measured things to say. Boys, what do people want? I'm pretty sure last year the majority of people were saying the bunker interfered too much.
Yes.
So they changed the rules. He's 100% right about that. Everyone knew what the bunker would review this year from the beginning of the season. So get over it. You can't have it both ways. But David's point is, my preference is to use technology all the time. If it's there, use it, Jim.
He makes a good point. There was an uproar, wasn't
it?
Too much. They stripped
it back.
They
took too long as well.
And that was another point. Yeah. They wanted to cut down the time and cut down the numbers, number of decisions to be made. And there's going to be errors. There's going to be imperfections from it. There's human
games are decided by obvious mistakes. That's the point, Jim.
Well, I don't think you call the Anthony Milford one an obvious mistake.
But you could have gone upstairs straight away and checked it. It would have taken a couple of seconds. There was something wrong.
You're right, Ray.
Yes. On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Cronulla coach Shane Flanagan says his team has no respect for the ball after some major turnover in last night's loss to the Gold Coast in Cronulla. The Titans beat the Sharks 16-12. Flanagan has demanded his men undergo an attitude change. North Queensland came back from last weekend's loss to beat Newcastle 24-12 and Parramatta beat Penrith 18-12. Today the West Tigers play Canterbury at ANZ at 4. GWS is emerging as the top AFL team in New South Wales after the Giants thumped the Swans by 42 points in last night's local derby at the SCG, 105-63. It was the third straight win for GWS over Sydney, but yet their first at the SCG. Other winners, the Bulldogs over Brisbane, Adelaide over the Gold Coast, and a goal with 44 seconds on the clock gave Fremantle a 5-point win over North Melbourne. A-League tonight, and Melbourne City host Perth at Amy Park at 7 p.m. The winner to play Sydney FC next Saturday for a spot in the grand final. Qualifying for race 2 in the V8 Supercars round at Phillip Island gets underway at 10:50 with the 57-lap race at 1:50. Fabian Coulthard won yesterday's race under a safety car finish where no less than 15 tyres blew out. Supercars and Dunlop will conduct a full investigation into the new tyre compound that was introduced this season. Super Netball is back this weekend after an Easter weekend break, and a big crowd expected at Qdos Bank Arena today for a double header, starting with the Giants taking on Collingwood at 1 o'clock, followed by the Swifts versus the Melbourne Vixens at 3. That will be massive. Chelsea is the first team through to the FA Cup final after defeating Tottenham 4-2 overnight at Wembley. Arsenal and Manchester City play in the other semi at midnight tonight. Meanwhile, a couple of EPL matches. Bournemouth 4 beat Middlesbrough 0. Hull 2, Watford 0. Swansea 2, Stoke 0. West Ham and Everton 0 all. Super Rugby and the Crusaders 57 beat the Stormers 24. The Chiefs beat the Western Force 17-16, while overnight the Bulls 20, the Cheetahs 14, and the Sharks and the Rebels played a 9-all draw. Rafael Nadal beat David Goffin in the semi of the Monte Carlo Masters overnight 6-3, 6-1, and he'll play fellow Spaniard Albert Ramos Vinolas in the final. Still with tennis, and Australia is leading Serbia 2-0 in the World Group 2 Fed Cup tie in Serbia. Ashley Barty and Daria Gavrilova both winning their singles matches. Aussie Cameron Smith is 2 off the lead in a tie for fourth after the third round of the Texas Golf Open. Kevin Chappell leads at -8. Just quickly, you'll say something, right?
The Tars booed off last night, Ken.
Yeah,
by who? Was there anyone there?
Well, the Law Friday Waratah night, supporters turned up and... What was their tab start?
50. For the Kings.
And the start
was 50.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Horrendous.
Yeah, and the Brumbies lost as well. Well, that was to the Hurricanes, but still.
And the Rebels lost as well.
Yeah, but the Waratahs are on the bottom of the Australian franchise, yeah.
It's a struggle.
That's what we were saying. Are we sure the Force is the right... club to be getting rid of?
Franchise
to be getting rid of?
Maybe not.
No, exactly. The Swans, maybe do they have relegation? What's going on?
Tan's a GWS fan.
Is that right?
Yeah,
of course. I go for all the Western Sydney teams.
We've got a split household. The Blues, what happens when the Blues play GWS?
Well, GWS will always win.
That's a good point.
There's no worries there.
Who did we have ring earlier and say, were you a part of the Eels 70-year celebrations that they had?
Mm. Well, prepare to be shocked. I am not actually in the Hall of Fame. So.
What? You can have your Cronins and your Prices and your Sterlings.
Yes, I know.
You want your big picture on the Leeds Club wall?
I know, when I go past that. Yeah. No, that won't be happening.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Tan. We do appreciate that. 1353 is the open line number. And it'd be lots of SMS coming in here talking about that. Boys, maybe the Swans, now that they're going busted, they should go back to Melbourne. Bruce Boambiguese. Yeah, oh, don't worry. If they're 0-5. If they keep going the way they're going, we'll forever refer to them as South Melbourne. Not Sydney.
Paul of Greenacre.
Yes.
Replying to your declaration just before that ad break, our mighty Dragons will put the feather dusters to your mob on Anzac Day. Red Rooster for dinner, he's saying. I hope you're right, Paul.
Oh, we'll see, Paul. We'll see. Morning, guys. 70th minute. Corey Norman touched the ref. I bet he doesn't get suspended. Well,
did you see that?
No, I didn't. No. But I tell you what, we'll have to have a look at the manner in which he touched the ref. Mm. I know that... Because even though last year there was a crackdown, remember, it just seemed to be prolific in the NRL that players were touching refs.
Mm.
There were some incidents, for example, Jonathan Thurston, I remember, and Cameron Smith touched the referee and there was no action.
Correct.
I think it's the manner in which you touch the referee.
One quick one. This one from Berger. About the play the ball, Jim. You don't have to put the foot on the ball anymore, do you? Just as long as you make that effort to roll the ball between your legs. Is that correct?
And the almost like the motion with your leg. You don't actually have to touch the ball. With your foot.
Mm.
There's nothing to say that they shouldn't implement it. Like, why?
Mm.
And if you don't do it right, you get penalised. You know how long it'll take them to get it right?
It's a messy play.
You know how long it'll take them to get it right?
It won't ever get it
a
right.
A week. No,
in
a week. In a week.
Just by...
You penalise guys who don't play it correctly?
So what
the coach will
right
say
now?
To him, listen, guys, everyone, play the ball with the foot, and if you don't play with your foot, you get penalised.
So Berger's point is, has there been a rule change with just as long as you make that effort to put it... roll the ball back in the motion and move your foot forward over it.
And move the ball over it. Jared Warrior Hargreaves. I don't think he's touched the ball with his foot since he's been playing NRL.
Good
anyway, 13:53:53. Sabrina is on the line. G'day, Sabrina.
Hi, how are you today?
Yeah, good morning, Sabrina.
I just wanted to have a chat. I've been listening to you about the South Broncos game on Friday.
Yes.
Like, I really enjoyed the bunker... You know, when the bunker goes up, talks about what they're doing. There was a Corbin Sims, he did some move that was 11 metres out instead of 10 metres, and it was explained that, you know, he could legally score that try. So going up to the bunker actually sort of teaches you things that you didn't know, because I didn't know that. Mm. But then that sort of complexion of the whole game changed with that Milford-Moga kerfuffle.
Yes.
I just don't understand the on-field ref when he said, why didn't he just say, can you rule on the Milford try? Did he ground it? And if they said, no, he didn't, that was it. Why did the bunker have to continue on to the Moga thing? That was a separate issue. Like, was it just a communication error, or...?
Couldn't the play have stopped then, Jim? Wasn't he tackled over the line?
Oh, well, the play went on anyway. You can't stop them immediately. But it's an interesting point you bring up, Sabrina. So what happens is that often they'll say, you know, when they go upstairs, I say, could you just check that he's onside, check there wasn't a knock-on, and if you could just check grounding as well. Basically, what they're saying is, mate, can you check everything and just see if we can't make sure we try and get this right? So that's the type of thing we had on that occasion. But the challenge was there to understand, were they looking at, is the player held? And if
sure
he didn't
he
get
was.
The ball down and
he
was held, that's
he?
Right. And that's what
Sam, came out.
And that's what Tony Archer has come out and said was the case. So
very good call.
So there's an instance, Ray, you're saying more technology involved, but there's still people pressing the button.
But did they look at that? That's the point.
Well, whichever way it is, it's technology being used, but not correctly.
Oh. Just so
the application of it, from Tony Archer's point of view, is not correct.
It's just so frustrating. CD coming Sabrina's way. Really good call.
You're a soft touch, Ray Thomas. Edigan, soft touch.
Sky Sports Radio brings you the very best in thoroughbred racing. And this Saturday, the very best is at Hawkesbury. Saturday morning from 6:30, catch Ron Duffercy, Ray Thomas and Paul Joyce with all the Hawkesbury winners here on Sky Sports Radio, 10:17 a.m.
There's tough. And there's a new breed of tough. Introducing the new Amarok Core 4x4 from only $42,990 drive away. This impressive workhorse comes with a rigid ladder frame chassis, the largest tray in its class. And now with a new cabin design, app connect, and rear view camera, it's a whole new breed of tough. Offer ends April 30. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Ah, well, the Sparkly Eels, they were back in form. Mm. They had their 70-year celebrations the week before. They got the job done against the Tigers. They're now 4-4 for their season, and I think a lot of people, myself included, expected them to be perhaps a little bit better than that. Let's see whether they're remaining confident within the camp there. Captain Tim Manor has been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Tim.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, morning, really well. How'd things pull up after yesterday's game?
Yeah, good. It was pleasing to get a good result, and I thought there was a lot of things to be happy with. Obviously, some things we can work on, but definitely happy with the result.
Yeah, Tim, the 4 straight losses after beginning the season with those 2 wins. You've come out of that little form slump. What's changed at the club to get you back in winning form, so to speak?
Well, I thought the Tigers game was good for us. You know, we didn't play really pretty in that Tigers game, but I thought the result was just kind of what the boys needed, to have a bit of confidence and just go back to playing like themselves. And I thought, you know, yesterday, that first 40 minutes in particular, was a lot more of the style of footy we want to play. And, you know, we can build off that, and we just got to, you know, keep the momentum going and keep getting better every week.
Well, I think Brad Arthur is, as we know, very defence-oriented, and I think probably the thing about yesterday is that you keep a side like the Penrith Panthers, although down on confidence, they can be a potent attacking side. Was that the thing that he mentioned after the game?
Yeah, I think even before the game, the focus for us yesterday was just getting back to, you know, having our attitude and defence back to where it should be and where we know we can have it. So I thought, you know, there was definitely some parts of our defence yesterday that showed signs of, you know, how we like to defend. Mm. That was definitely a pleasing part about yesterday, I guess.
Tim, a player I think's done a super job for you this season in various positions is Clinton Gutherson. Again, he played well yesterday, and he's so important to your side, isn't he? Because he has that versatility, and Brad Arthur can move him almost anywhere in the back line.
Yeah, he's been one of our best all year, Gutho. He you know, he's a real competitor at training. He works really hard and he's very professional. And you know, I think you know this year everyone's starting to see you know how valuable he is to our team. And you know, he can spot anywhere, and he's happy to you know, he's happy to put his hand up and do whatever is best for the team.
Mm. He's been playing a little bit at 5'8" at different stages, and alongside Corey Norman. Obviously, Corey had off-field issues last year. On-field, it's always been pretty good. I think it's probably gone to a new level this year. Have you seen a newfound maturity, sense of responsibility from Corey Norman this year, Tim?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's been there for a while. It's not something that just popped up overnight. I think over the last you know, 6 months, he's definitely grown a lot, and you know, he's taken a lot more responsibility on at the club and leading the team around on the park. And I think he's only going to get better and better as you know, the older he gets.
Yeah, Tim, yesterday out to 18-0, Brad Arthur said in the post-match interviews that probably played dumb in the second half, quote in quote. I guess when you're out so far in front, is there a tendency to maybe take the foot off the pedal a little sometimes?
Yeah, I don't know if it was taking the foot off the pedal. I think it was, yeah, like Brad said, it was just you know, making poor decisions and not you know, finishing him off the way we wanted to. You know, we want to get better at yeah, if we're in a position to finish a team off, we want to be better at just being a bit more relentless and ruthless and just get the job done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're pleased with the result, but I think we could definitely have been a lot smarter that second half.
Oh, come on, Tim, tell the truth. It happens when you're not on the field, mate. That they miss that leadership.
My kicking game wouldn't have helped anyway.
Just on that, about 40 minutes is the amount of game time. Do you speak to Brad about, hey, do you want more game time? Do you just doing what's best for the team? How does that work?
Yeah, Brad's pretty open with communication, you know, and you know, he's happy for people to talk to him. And, yeah, he always explains, you know, if there's any questions I have in game time, he's always happy to explain why he goes certain games and different game times for certain games. And,
yep.
Mate, I'm happy to do whatever it takes to be part of this team, and wherever that fits and whatever that looks like, I'm happy to do it.
You've played the Dragons, you've played the Sharks, the Raiders, the Panthers yesterday, all of them touted as possible contenders this year. Who's the best side that the Eels have come up against?
That's a good question. It's kind of hard to say this early in the year, but, you know, I don't think we've played the real good team. I think in my mind, I think teams like Melbourne are still the teams you've got to be ready for.
Sure.
Yeah. Just watch them play. They're just very clinical, and I think you know, they're going to be there or thereabouts at the end of the year. We played Sharks already. They did a pretty good job just controlling the game as well. So, I think those two teams are definitely standouts.
Yeah. Tim, be good to wake up Sunday morning with those 2 points in the bag. You would have rested pretty easily last night, but already, no doubt, Brad Arthur and the coaching team, their focus is on the Cowboys next Friday night. You've got to travel to Townsville. Probably no JT, but always a tough road trip going to Townsville to take on the Cowboys.
Yeah, you obviously know Brad well because he's like that. He'll be preparing last night for this week. And he even mentioned after the game, yeah, our record has been great up at Townsville the last few years, so we've got to go up there and make sure we fix that up and put in a really good performance.
Did you watch any of Jared Hayne last night?
Yeah, I did. I was really happy for him. I think yeah, he's copped a lot of criticism. I think a lot of unfair criticism over the last few months. So it was good to see him, you know, get back on the field and show everyone what he's capable of doing.
Yeah. Have you met the baby? Are you the godfather or anything like that?
No, not the godfather. But yeah, our baby's met on Easter Sunday, so we've got to hang out and introduce our daughter to each other, which was nice.
Very good. Yeah. And one last one from me, Tim. Brad Takarangi, injury. What's the update with him? I think he's been really good for you guys this year.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics of what it is. I think I heard them say it could be injured PCL, but yeah, I think he'll have scans today, and they can have a bit more of a more accurate call on that soon.
Sure.
Fingers crossed.
Sure. Hey Tim, great to you give up your time on a Sunday. We do appreciate it. Well done yesterday, and good luck for that match that Ray mentioned up against the Cowboys next week.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
So much.
Have a good one.
There he is, Timmy Manor, captain of the Parramatta Eels, and now getting the season back on track. Raymond, 4-4 and in 10th
exactly.
position.
And a quick one from Parramatta. Boys, tell Tim I love him. It's a bromance. That's from Parramatta.
Parramatta. He loves him.
He loves Tim.
There you go. There you go. 1353 the open line number. Let's go. Oh, we've got a caller on the line now. Adrian is there. Hello, Adrian.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray.
Morning, Adrian. How are you, mate?
Good, thank you. Just three quick things. I mean, Jared Hayne is a superstar, period.
Correct.
If I've got a choice out of Jared Hayne
name them.
Okay, Paul Vaughan, Fafita, Pryor, Ryan James, Campbell Gillard, Boyd.
What about Paulo?
Another one, seven.
The players that Laurie Daly and Peter Sterling should not consider are Woods, Tarmel, Clement May is a bit iffy, and Trent Merrill looks about 10 kilos overweight. He should definitely not be there. And then finally, when is Canterbury ever going to be involved in a game that's exciting? Win, lose, or draw? When's it been, Jimmy and Ray? 2012?
Well, I've got to say, that's when Ben Barber was there, yeah. So I've got to say, I said it last week, and we appreciate the call, Adrian. The Bulldogs versus the Rabbitohs, you looked at that and you went, oh, this is hard work. Mm. And then you went to the Gold Coast versus the Broncos and went, wow, now this is entertainment. Mm. So, Adrian, you know what? All of those things that Adrian said today
make a lot of sense.
I don't actually disagree with pretty much any of them.
He doesn't want a CD. He doesn't like CDs.
Well, I'm going to check myself in for a bit of a tune-up. I'm starting to agree with Adrian.
Heading into winter, Sky Sports Radio brings you the best in racing and sport.
At the 300, did you give him a cheerio? What did you say?
No, not this week.
From Slats and CK on the Big Sports Breakfast weekdays to the Big Sports Breakfast weekend every Sunday morning, you'll hear the key players from all our winter sports. Racing HQ, Hunter's Postmortem, Going Greyhound, On the Pace, Chasing and Pacing Rewind. Bringing you the latest in news, interviews and tips. This is Sky Sports Radio, 1017 AM.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Code of Practice, which has been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The code has recently been revised and a new code is in place. Content on this station is regulated by the code. The code covers areas such as material not suitable for broadcast, news and current affairs, Australian music, live-hosted entertainment and the promotion of gambling during live sports. You can obtain a copy of the code by contacting this station or from the Commercial Radio Australia website, commercialradio.com.au.
Pressure. It's something that most of us don't like to be under. In fact, it often causes confusion and mistakes. As a professional athlete, it's something that I've had to get used to. Yet people think it's okay to put heaps of pressure on kids to perform when they're playing sport. It may seem harmless enough, but constant calling out instructions from the sideline and telling kids what to do can be a real downer. I'm Sam Thaiday from the Brisbane Broncos, and it's time to let kids be kids and enjoy their sport. Google Play By The Rules to find out more.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Now, welcome back to the program. Only a little while to go, Ray, and some people are probably going to appreciate that, aren't they? Because we've got our Event Cinema tickets to give away. It's a double pass to the VMAX, and it's all courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta to Prakash and the team out there who are world leaders.
Is something coming through, Jim?
Well, that's been recognised, yeah, okay. Because something coming through right now at the at the World Cinema Owners / Managers Awards.
And what are they
held in, held in Barcelona overnight?
Barcelona, now,
yeah,
okay.
I know.
And what are they? You just
like
pluck that out of your head.
I like the travel.
And what do they say in Barcelona?
Number one Southern Hemisphere. Prakash and the team out there at Parramatta. Number one in the Southern Hemisphere. Event Cinemas at Parramatta. So we've got a double pass to give away. Now, we're going to give it to the best piece, the best contribution to the program, the caller, the SMS, whichever way it happened to be. And, you know, there was a lot of strong nominations, not least Adrian, who by the way, John from Moorbank says, Jimmy and Ray, what about Aidan Tolman? No, Aidan missed out.
Goes
at Vaughan for Peter? No, Aidan Tolman. No, but you found one that you felt was appropriate.
I'll let you.
All right. You don't get many lady callers. There's no name on this or anything, but we've identified who it is from an earlier SMS. You don't get many lady callers. Ray offers a CD to a good call, and you call him a soft touch. Only 15 minutes to go, Ray. That's from our friend Judy. And Ray finds that funny for some reason.
Got no idea, Jimmy.
Where'd John O'Shea get into the studio?
Oh, dear.
Anyway, so Judy... We know it's you.
And somehow, against my better judgment, I've been outvoted here by Ray and producer Jeremy.
It's very comical.
Get the double pass.
Because the girls pegged you at the start, Michelle and Judy.
What do you mean pegged me at
the
start?
They did. They were concerned about your demeanour and the long show, I think Michelle said, and Judy's the similar thing.
Well, that was in the first hour, Ray, when we were sitting in the wrong chairs, and that really threw us out, didn't it?
100%. I've got to go with
it. It was the classical spanner in the works, wasn't it?
You know me, I'm very systematic.
Oh, mate. How were the puff voice this morning?
Outstanding.
What time did the alarm go off?
4:46.
Very good. 13:53:53, the open 9 number. Now, this bloke, he'll be cock-a-hoop today.
Oh, yes.
A fantastic win from the Wentworthville Magpies against the Penrith Panthers. I was there. It was a famous victory. Good morning, Scotty Foster.
Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. How are you?
Good morning, Scotty.
Really well, Mark. Can't believe you couldn't make it out to Pepper Stadium, mate. It was a big win.
Yeah, it was a great win. It was an early game, but had to do some things with work, so unable to get there. But a good win by the first grade side, Parramatta, as well. So all smiles this morning.
Yeah, everything's looking up. All right. Now, what about this 2008 Ford FG Falcon sedan?
Yeah, we've got another great car on sale, and it's very cheap. It is the 2008 Ford FG Falcon sedan, black in colour, and it looks fantastic. Has all the mod cons like air conditioning, power steering, ABS brakes, airbags, cruise control, power windows, alloy wheels. But the real great thing about this family sedan is that it's on LPG, dedicated gas. So it's extremely economical and reliable, but it still comes with the safety and the comfort of the big family car. So I can't believe we are advertising this car for this price. But it's unbelievable value for the listeners today at just $4,990. That's right, it's a Ford FG Falcon for just $4,990. It's an absolute steal. So go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au because they don't come any better or cheaper than this great car.
Scotty, that won't last.
No, that's out the door, that one.
Hey, Scotty, but if anyone needs any finances, you can help them there too, mate.
Certainly can. If you need finance for this car or any of our cars, we've got some great finance packages available. We're helping a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. If you've had credit issues in the past, then now is the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, you're new to Australia or on a student visa, we can help. If you're on a sickness benefit or you're starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, we can help you. So go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au or give Joe a call on 963 750 24 and let us get you driving a car now.
Yeah, all right. Now, you've got Ringrose Park footy today as well.
We certainly do. After that great win yesterday, we're hoping to keep the run going. We're hosting Cabramatta at Ringrose Park in both the Sydney Shield and the Ron Massey Cup. The Sydney Shield kicks off at 1. And then the Ron Massey Cup's at 3 o'clock. So get down to Ringrose Park, see some great footy, and then venture over to the best club in Sydney afterwards for a great meal in Wenty Leagues.
And Lewis Jones was that great player that played for Wenty back in the 60s, wasn't he?
He was, and I think he captain coached when my dad was there playing as well. So Dad knew Lewis, and they caught up at the reunion we had a few years back. So.
Yeah, legend. Absolute legend. Yeah. Good on you, Scotty. Footy club in form, so make sure you get out to Ringrose. And, of course, make sure you get to Steve Foster and Sons if you want to pick yourself up a really great car. Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
Righto, guys. See you later.
Cheers, Scotty.
There he is, Scotty Foster. Fosterscualitycars.com.au. Fosterscualitycars.com.au. 9637 5024. Now, this from Master Monkey. Jimmy, don't worry about agreeing with Adrian. If you put a monkey in front of a typewriter, sooner or later he gets a word right. Jack from Old Bar. There you go. That's Jack from Mulbar. So we do appreciate that. It wasn't from Master Monkey. I've got Monkey on my mind there. Now, coming up on Racing HQ, Full Wagga Preview with John Scorse and Simon Harrison, followed by Chasing and Pacing Rewind. That's with Freddie Hastings and Stuart Turner, of course. And remember, the boys from the BSB will be back tomorrow, and they'll be doing a big preview to what's coming up, the completion of Round 8 with the Roosters taking on the Dragons and, of course, the Storm taking on the Warriors.
What start are you giving me on Anzac Day?
3.5.
Okay. Carton on that.
3.5? You want? Jeez, you're keen, aren't you? You're 3.5. Yeah. Hang on, I was a very, very bullish earlier, wasn't I?
You were, yeah.
Done.
Carton's on
Done.
It.
Okay. Carton on it. There we go. We shook on it as well. So there you go. Now, call now, 1353 53. If you'd like to go to that standalone meeting at Hawkesbury, we've still got two family passes, and we define a family passes as four tickets. So call now. We've got Judy as our Event Cinemas winner.
Congratulations,
yeah. Judy. I don't know why you're encouraging people to SMS in and have a go. Do you think at times during the course of the show, Ray, only 15 minutes?
I actually enjoy it. I've got to say, I do like Sunday morning.
Okay. All right, now let's get this send-off right today. We've